tonight to your, and we'll turn in them tonight too, but then also this morning, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. I want to preach on one of the kings of Israel. He's not one of the good kings. He's really what we would put in the category of being one of the bad kings. He didn't have to be a bad king, but he turned out to be one. He had bad influences in his life. We'll see something about that. And we'll look at that later on. But right now I want us to look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, beginning in verse 1. And let's all stand if you're able to stand and read this. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again today. We thank you to be in your house. Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is for us to be able to assemble ourselves together. We pray that this privilege, this freedom would be able to be sustained in our country. We pray for your people all over the world that are gathered together to proclaim your gospel, to worship, encourage one another, and provoke one another unto love and good works. We ask that you would bless those of our number that are away today, bless in the services in Ohio. And Father, we pray especially for those who are being persecuted, of our brothers and sisters all over the globe. And we pray that you'd have your will and your way in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now the Bible says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these things? They answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leathern about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him. And behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50, with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came down fire from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he rose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. So he died, according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Please be seated. Now, to get a little background on this passage of Scripture and to learn more about this man, Ahaziah, and why he was made up the way he was, a good explanation for his approach to life, his attitude toward life and toward God, and why he sank into the place that he did, spiritually speaking, look at his background. In verse 51 of the previous book, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 51, says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the son of Ahab. That tells us a lot. He was the son of the wickedest king, the most wicked king that Israel had ever had. And furthermore, he was the son of a woman who is the most wicked woman that you could find in all of the Old Testament scripture, Jezebel. And the Bible says, and we're not surprised in a way to read this in verse 22 with such a parentage, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jehoram, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. What a legacy that he followed. For he served Baal. Now, this is a king of Israel. He served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. And so when we go into the next book and begin reading in the first chapter of this book about the reign of King Ahaziah, we're not surprised to see that this chapter just tells us three brief things that summarize his life. And the three things are these. Number one, the difficulties in his life. Here's a man who had all kinds of difficulties in his life. And man, we shouldn't be surprised by that by virtue of what we've already read in 1 Kings, the path that he pursued, and the manner of his life. The difficulties he's had in his life. Almost all of my life, I've heard this old saying that there's no trouble like homemade trouble. And there was so much trouble in the home he grew up in and carried over into his own home. So we're not surprised there were difficulties in his life. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. And so we can't expect but to have the more that we transgress against God, the harder life to be. And it doesn't matter whether you're living in a mansion or in a shack by the side of the road, your life is going to be hard just to the degree that God is not in your life and ruling and reigning and directing in your life. Secondly, we see in this chapter the decisions that Ahab made. Decisions are so important. Life is all about choices. We all live in a fallen world today because of a bad choice made early on in the history of man. When Adam made that terrible, terrible choice, the Bible says Adam was not deceived. Now, the devil may have deceived Eve, but Adam was not deceived. He walked right in with eyes wide open, knowing what it was going to result in, his disobedience to God. And it's almost incomprehensible, it is incomprehensible for me anyway, to think about Adam knowing what he knew. If he made the choice to disobey God where the fruit of the tree was concerned, that he was going to bring the condemnation of sin upon the whole world. But it boils down to this, I think, in the simplest terms, that Adam made the choice he did because he knew that those who would eat of the tree would die, would surely die. He knew that Eve was sentenced to death, and he simply chose to bring sin upon the whole world rather than live without Eve in his life. Now, that sounds overly simplistic, but you can't find a more simple, solid explanation for what he did. Life is full of choices. You and I made choices yesterday all day long. We were confronted with choices to make. We are where we are today because of good choices, bad choices. And you see these choices, that the decisions that he made. And then the time came, as it comes to all men, the Bible says that he just died. That's how the story, earthly speaking, is for Ahaziah. He died. Now, notice, number one, the difficulties of Ahaziah. And I'll sum them up under two heads. Number one, first difficulty we're presented with is right here in verse 1. He had no sooner assumed the throne than there was an insurrection in the kingdom. And I think that all of these people, the Philistines and others, who had been subservient to Israel up to this point, who had been paying tribute to Israel, because Ahab was not only a very wicked man, but he was quite a warrior. He was a bad leader, but he was a leader. But his son Ahaziah didn't have any of those qualities, and the surrounding people knew that. They understood that. And so they smelled blood. They sensed the weakness of Ahaziah. And shortly after he assumed the throne, the Bible says that there was that Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. The whole kingdom is thrust into a state of turmoil and war. And this was the first difficulty that we're told of. But then, you know, the old saying, when it rains, it pours. Well, you see that right here, because the next thing we're told about Ahaziah after he assumed the throne is about his injury. One day he's out walking on his porch or his balcony or whatever it was, and the Bible says in verse 2, Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick. Now, he fell down and injured himself to the extent that he was sick, and probably some other unrelated sicknesses may have set in. But nevertheless, this goes back to that verse that I quoted from Proverbs, the way of the transgressor is hard, and it gets harder and harder and harder. Sometimes when you've been in a Christian for a while, and you've been a church member for a while, you see people. I was talking to a couple of our younger people here recently, you see people they start in the wrong direction. And it's really sad when people start bringing difficulties. They're walking right into difficulties in their life because they have made, they have come to a place where they've started making bad choices. Ahaziah had made a bad choice long before when he followed in the way of his father, Ahab, and his mother, Jezebel. He didn't have to do that. You know, there are a lot of people, there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who've been brought up with parents that could be in the same category as an Ahab or a Jezebel. It's sad. They've been brought up in a godless home. The name of Christ is never mentioned. Church is never a consideration. And they grow up that way. They don't have any good influences throughout their young life. Nevertheless, there have been hundreds and hundreds of thousands of young people brought up in those circumstances that have turned to God, and their whole life has been changed. Their whole legacy that they leave is different from what it would have been otherwise. But Ahab has made a wrong decision early on. Now, the truth was being preached. Let's remember this. We'll be reminded of this a little bit more. But there were men like Elijah in the kingdom when Ahaziah was growing up. And he no doubt heard them preach. There were godly people when he was growing up. He could have followed their lead, but he didn't. And so here are those. He has all of these difficulties in his life because of bad decisions. And here we're going to find him making another bad decision. You see, the decisions that Ahaziah had made for his life, they're just very, very clear. You can tell when you watch people and observe people. The decisions they've made are very, very clear in life. Sometimes they'll even tell you right out of their own mouth, no uncertain terms, what they think about God and what they intend on doing where God is concerned, which is nothing. And so here is Ahaziah, who is part of the people of God in terms of being a part of Israel, and he has these advantages of these preachers. I don't know if we've ever lived in a time when there was more opportunity for people to hear the Word of God and to have truth than we do today. I was in that meeting last week, and there were two different printing ministries there, and I was really impressed with both of them, but one of them especially, down in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And the man who was there, probably about 50-ish, his father was a World War II veteran that was wounded in combat and had lots of experience, came back home took up this printing ministry that his grandfather, another Baptist preacher down there, had started. And I sat there so impressed to hear about not just the thousands of Bibles that they're printing in all different languages, but the millions of Bibles that they're printing. When the war broke out in Ukraine, almost immediately they were able to send 250,000 Bibles in the Ukrainian language over there. And they've sent more since then. And so there's the opportunity for truth. Ahaziah had an opportunity for truth. I've heard people say, adult people say, I wish I had paid more attention to the truth. I wish I'd let the truth that I had when I was young really direct me as I got older. But I didn't, and I paid the price for that. But Ahaziah had these difficulties, and he made his decision clear right here. Look at this one. You see, first, his clarity of his decision where God was concerned in the recourse that he took to the God of the heathen. No, he didn't want the God of Israel. He wanted the God of Ekron, the God of the Philistines, Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. He chose that God with a little g to worship, to sacrifice to, and all of that over the God of Israel. In the latter part of verse 2, as soon as he falls through that lattice and finds himself in that physical condition, this is what he did. He said, go inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron. Now, this is just insanity. But he's inquiring. He wants to get counsel, get assurance, get help
from the God of this morbidly godless society of the Philistines and their horrible, horrible God Beelzebub. It kind of reminds you of people today. Instead of seeking God, they know better. They've been brought up among the people of God. They may even be part of the people of God. But when they have a real issue in life, they seek their help from the world. That's the first place they go. That's the first place their mind goes, is what can the doctor do for me? What can the government do for me? And on and on and on. So here, Ekron is a Philistine stronghold with the God of Beelzebub, center of worship there. But again, this is something that people are disposed to do, most especially lost people. But here's the thing. When people do something like this, they're always disappointed. They're always disappointed. You go to the world to get help that you should be going to God to get, and you'll always come up empty. You'll always come up dry, and usually go from bad to worse. In Jeremiah chapter 2, or chapter 17, chapter 2 and in verse 13, God said, "My people," and you can almost detect pathos in the voice of God, and he looks upon it and he said, "My people have committed two evils." He said, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Here's a fountain of living water, and they turn to broken cisterns that they've dug for themselves. They have dug up these hopes for themselves and turned from God. In Jeremiah 17 and 7, the Bible says, "By contrast, blessed is the man that trusteth the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." In Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first," before you even think about anything else, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added unto you." Well, when Elijah called his messengers and said, "I want you to get on down to Ekron and make inquiry of the God of the Philistines, what's going to become of all this for me?" There was a man in the kingdom who knew all about that. He knew what he had done. Now, either it came to him by the rumor mill, or God informed his servant what Elijah has done. The truth is here that Elijah knew all about this decision that Ahaziah had made. He knows all about our choices. He knows about the decisions that we're making. And when Elijah found out about this, now get the picture, here are the messengers galloping out of the gates of Samaria, and they're headed down the road, and they don't get very far before this man steps out in front of them. And he is an unusual-looking man. He's dressed in leather garments and camel's hair. And he confronts them before they ever got out of the shadow of the city walls, it seems like, and gave them the answer that they were on their way to Ekron to get. He has the answer for them, and I can just see him stepping out there and say, "Hey, wait a minute, hold up there, boys. I'm going to save you some time. I know where you're headed and what your question is and everything, but I'm going to save you some time." In verse 3 and 4, the angel of the Lord had said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up and meet these messengers." And then the Bible says, verse 4, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord,
Elijah said, thou shalt not come down from that bed on... Here's the answer. Here's the answer. The king wants an answer. Well, here's the answer. You're not going to come off your sick bed upon which you're lying, but you're going to die. What an answer. Well, Ahaziah's decisions made clear in another way. And that is seen in the resistance he made to the God of heaven. Do you know what many times people do? Even God's people from time to time. I mean, I know I've been guilty of this at times. Where I was uneasy about a choice or a decision I was going to make, but I went ahead and forged ahead anyway. And God put some things in my way to make me reconsider that decision, but I didn't pay any attention to them, and I went ahead with my decision anyway, and it didn't work out well. But all along, I was making my decision clear in my resistance to what I knew better. And this is what you see with Ahaziah in what he's doing here. Now, America has resisted God's counsel for a long, long time. America has made wrong choices over the decades and resisted God. And I want you to look at verses 5 and 6 and see the significance of Ahaziah's indifference to the message that was delivered to him. When the messengers went back and they told him what had happened, they said, This man came out. They described this man. They said, this man came out, and he told us that you're not going to come off your sick bed, but you're going to surely die. You can see him coming back through the gates and down the corridor and into the king's chambers. And the king, what are you doing back here so soon? Didn't I send you? And they said, we were on our way, but this man stepped into the way, and he told us this is what is going to happen to you. Did it humble him? No. You see him beginning to rage at the man of God's intrusion. Now think about this. The man of God's intrusion into his life. His rage over the man of God's intrusion into his life overrode everything else that was going on. He didn't pay attention to anything else except his emotional agitation that Elijah has dared to intrude into his life with truth from God. He resented it. He resisted it. And that's the way some people do today. From time to time, people will do that. They think, well, this is none of his business. Maybe the Bible does say that. But I think I'm in a position today that I know better. The circumstances, the situations are different. And so you see his indifference to what God said. And then you see the significance of something else. You see the significance of Ahaziah's identification of the man that was described to him. When they told him about this man, he said, well, tell me what he looked like. And verses 7 and 8 says, he said unto them, what manner of man was this which came up to meet you and told you these things? And they began to describe him. They said he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and his face must have blanched because immediately he recognized him. Now, Ahaziah grew up as a little boy in the court of Ahab and Jezebel. And there had been more than one time that Elijah had come and confronted his parents face to face with their sin. And he had heard Elijah, he had seen him. You don't forget a man like Elijah very quickly. His memory sticks with you all of your life. And immediately Ahaziah knew who they were talking about. And in verse 7 and 8, he says at the end, it is Elijah the Tishbite. So he had had previous exposure with him. So his decision now that he made is very clear. He's come to this point, and his decision was very costly. He could have repented. He could have said, "What a fool I've been. It didn't turn out well for my parents when they went against God and went against his word and went against his servant. And it wouldn't go well for me, and I repent." He didn't do that. He made the exact opposite decision, and his decision was costly. Decisions in life can be so costly. Some people are paying for their decisions, foolish decisions, wrong decisions, decisions that where God was not sought at all, and they're tied up in a bad, what the world would call a bad marriage. It's been nothing but a troublesome thing all their life. Some people have made wrong decisions, and they're caught up financially to where they're enslaved to debt for almost all of the years of their youth and beyond because of a bad decision. Some people they're incapacitated physically. You see them sometimes in the cities. They're not begging. They're not on the side of the road begging as a scam like some of these are around here. Somebody told me the other day I saw a van drive by, and a guy jumped out of it and went up to one of these people standing on the corner with a sad look on their face holding up a piece of cardboard. And he took off. This guy just immediately handed him all the money that he had. He jumped back in the van and took off. So they have a team. It's a scam. But there's a lot of people that are not like that. They made a bad decision when they were very young. They got addicted to alcohol or to drugs. They made a bad decision. Now they're eaten up with a venereal disease. And they're incapacitated for life because of these bad decisions that they make. They've cost them so much. Now, his decision was costly. I want you to see this. It was costly in terms of what happened to his soul. Boy, you start making wrong decisions. They start out just little ones, but they'll have a bad effect upon your soul. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." There are people that they've had their parents plead with them. They've had preachers plead with them, instruct them, teach them. The Holy Spirit has dealt with them, but they harden their neck. They stiffen their neck. They procrastinate. They put it off. And this is all having a more and more detrimental effect on their soul. Ahaziah came to a point, I think, where he crossed the line. You know that old verse, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you thought you would stay, and it'll cost you more than you ever thought you'd have to pay. And I think the place came in Ahaziah's life where he crossed the line. And you see this in Proverbs 28 and 14 says, "Happy is the man that feareth always, for he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Zechariah 7 and 12 says, "Yes, they made their hearts as an adamant stone." They made their own hearts as an adamant stone, "lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts." So this was costly in terms of his soul, and costly in terms of what happened to his soldiers. Now, decisions, our choices, our decisions, just like Adam's, there's collateral damage. Collateral damage to the people around us, people that we influence, people that are the most dear in our lives. We see this illustrated here in verse 9 through 14. The king sends out a captain of his soldiers, sends 50 men with him. This captain goes out to do what he's told to do and loses his life and the life of 51 men incinerated because of the foolishness, the foulness of Ahaziah's decision. And what does Ahaziah do? He sends out another 50. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but when this second captain went out, he got even more aggressive. He first one said, come down. This one says, come down quickly. Get yourself down here right now. And he suffered the same fate. Oh, here's 102 men now who have met their deaths because the leadership in their life has made these terrible decisions. Now, a lot of collateral damage, like I said, is walking around today in rescue missions, hospitals, prison yards, cell blocks, divorce courts, and on and on and on. Collateral damage, and you see that collateral damage here. And then, and thank God for the third captain, he went out there and he assumed the proper attitude. He fell down before, you know, all I can say about it, the third captain, is this, which can't be said about some people, but it can be said about him. He learned something. And he went out there and was repentant, attitude, thought about others, thought about his men. Good for him. So you see the difficulties, the decisions. Then by and by, you know, Ahaziah reigned, had a shorter reign, I think, than any king that they ever had in Israel. His reign wasn't very long. That's a good thing because he couldn't do any more damage than he did. But the time came that Ahaziah got sicker and sicker. He wasted away. And the time came that he was on the verge of death. And the Bible says in verse 17, so he died. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. But he died, here's the sad part, he died in the same condition that he was in when he came into this world. He came in a sinner, alienated from God, a transgressor, and he went out of this world the exact same way. Jesus said to some people one time in John 8, he said, I said unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. See, there's only two categories of people in the world, two categories of people sitting in churches. There are those who are going to die in Christ. Sins forgiven. Amen. And then there are others who are sitting there and maybe on the same pew. Maybe walking down the street together, laying in the same bed together. And they're going to die same way they came into the world. They'll leave it in their sins, without Christ and without hope. So Ahaziah's story ends like this, it seems. So he died. He died in the same condition he was in when he came into the world, and he died under the same condemnation that he was under when he came into the world. So he died. I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I thought that it's so interesting when you read the last verse in this chapter. It says, tells us all about his life and his death. What a pitiful death. Then it says, you know, you can imagine how it was there when he gasped his last breath and the announcement, they checked and took his pulse or whatever, and finally the official announcement was made, he died. And verse 18 says, now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And that's true. When you just read this, you think, wow, this is a short story. Not much said about Ahaziah in the Bible, just one chapter. But there's more. There's more in the books of the Chronicles about Ahaziah's life, especially 2 Chronicles 20. It tells us a little more, fills in a few details. But it says the rest of the acts of Ahaziah. You can find them in the Chronicles. But then there's another rest of his acts. His acts didn't finish when he died there in Samaria. His acts weren't finished when they laid him in the grave. His acts continue up to this very moment. You want to find out what went on in his life in terms of his acts here on earth, you can read about him in 1 Kings and Chronicles. But if you want to find out something about what's going on in terms of his acts right now, you have to turn over to the New Testament to Luke 16. Because there you find out that his acts now are associated with all of the horrors of hell that are being fulfilled in that place. Ahaziah still lives. He lives a life that always dies. And he's dying a death that always lives. His acts are going on and on and on. His acts are like the rich man in Luke 16. His acts are like this. Send somebody with a drop of water on the tip of their finger for the tip of my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. His acts are continuing in the sense of all of the burning memories that he has of when he had the opportunities that he had and scorned them. The acts of Ahaziah are recorded in Luke 16. Our acts don't end when this life is over. Our acts continue in one of two places, heaven or hell. Let's all stand together.